The Spur of the Moment podcast is proudly presented by Shane Dagey, Realtor of Always Here Properties. Selling your home, buying your home, first-time buyers, investors, and seasoned home buyers. Call or text 512-540-1626, and I'll be glad to help with all of your real estate needs. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Spur of the Moment podcast. I'm your host, Shane Dagey.
And I'm your co-host, Drew Dagey. Welcome to episode 72 of Spur of the Moment.
Coming straight from the Simonator Studios in the heart of Texas, we had a Manu Ginobili Hall of Fame celebration, the Spurs season opener, and as you might imagine, the Spurs got hammered by the Charlotte Hornets 129-102, even without their superstar LaMelo Ball. Rough night for the Spurs, but like a lot of these nights are going to be, young players, learning experiences, and, you know, that's going to kind of unfortunately be the mark of this season, but I think everybody knows the prize at the end of the road with Mr. Victor Wembanyama. We'll not talk about him tonight, but we'll talk about this game and the San Antonio Spurs. Drew, what are your initial thoughts about the home opener and the season opener?
Yeah, it was a very, very tough outing against Charlotte Hornets last night. We let them put up 130. It was a very tough night on defense. On offense, it was pretty tough, too. Keldon Johnson got it going a little bit, but he wasn't enough. And they just outplayed us in the offensive side of the ball. Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward, and P.J. Washington definitely stepped up for them. So it was a tough one, and I think that shows why we're one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing because we're developing a bunch of 19-year-olds. I actually looked at there was a tweet about the average age of the San Antonio Spurs roster, and it was like age 23.2, and then the average age of the UTSA basketball roster in San Antonio, and it was like 20. It was just a shade younger than the Spurs. We actually have more 19-year-olds, more teenagers than the UTSA Roadrunners. So that was an interesting fact. But anyway, rough night for the Spurs. A lot of learning experiences like this season is sure to have a lot of. But there were some good things about it. So let's get to those good things. Drew, who were your top two players from last night?
Yeah, so my number one top two, I got Keldon Johnson. Keldon Johnson put up 20 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. In 30 minutes, shooting 8 of 17 from the field and 3 of 7 from the three-point line. Keldon Johnson was my number one top two. My second top two, I have Jakob Poeltl. In 27 minutes, Jakob Poeltl put up 14 points and 9 rebounds while shooting 7 of 13 from the field. So Jakob Poeltl is my top two and Keldon Johnson.
All right. Well, I also had Keldon as my number one on my top two. But another one I had was Mr. Trey Jones. I thought he had a pretty solid night, protected the basketball. He had 14 points, 2 assists, 3 rebounds. I just thought he did a lot for the Spurs. Defensively, he moved around as best as he could, and I really liked Trey's game last night. So he was my second one on the top two behind Keldon. Keldon, of course, is the face of the franchise now, and I think that was shown, but definitely will be a good season for Keldon Johnson, I think. All right, let's get to the bottom two. Who are your bottom two, Drew?
Yeah, my number one bottom two, I have Josh Richardson. He put up 0 points, turned the ball over 2 times, then 2 rebounds. That's pretty much it. And he shot 0-3 from the field in 17 minutes. He was my number one bottom two. My number two bottom two, I have Josh Primo. He put up 10 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. But he shot 3 of 11 from the field and 0 of 3 from the three-point line in 26 minutes. So Richardson and Primo are on my bottom two.
Okay. Well, my bottom two were a little different than yours. Mine was Devin Vassell. He was 3 of 15 shooting, 0 of 8 from three-point line. That's going to get better. He hits cold spells, and that's just the name of the game. He tries to battle through them, but that for last night's poor shooting performance, he was my number one. And then my second one was Mr. Zach Collins. He did have 4 block shots, which was great, but he turned the ball over twice and just didn't hit a bucket. He was 0-3, and I know he's coming back, so maybe not deserved, maybe deserved, but Zach Collins is who I had on my bottom two. So that's our top two, bottom two segment. And speaking of Trey Jones, I'm going to give a little clip of a soundbite of Trey Jones and just his perspective on this season. I think it's important to have a lot of perspective in this season for the San Antonio Spurs as they embark on a full-on rebuild. So here is Mr. Trey Jones. So one of the things Trey Jones mentioned, I know the volume was kind of quiet on that, but Trey Jones mentioned coming out soft. He mentioned they need to get better starts to games and just talking about the young players having jitters. So all those things came together. Ladies and gentlemen, we have three 19-year-olds on the roster. So just to understand that and be patient with this team as they develop and grow and mold this season. All right, the next segment of our show is the question of the day. Remember, you can always email us. SpursPodcast99@gmail.com or text your questions to 512-540-1626. Tonight's question is, what did you guys think of Jeremy Sochan's debut? And what are your thoughts about the Dennis Rodman comparisons? So before we jump into this, I just want to give a statistic about Jeremy Sochan's debut. He's only the fifth rookie to start on opening night for the San Antonio Spurs. The other rookies that started were Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Sean Elliott, and Willie Anderson. So, back to that question. What did you guys think of Jeremy Sochan's debut, and what are your thoughts about the Rodman comparisons? Drew?
Yeah, so, offensively, Jeremy Sochan was, man, he couldn't get a shot going. He shot 2 of 8 from field and 0 of 2 from the three-point line. But defensively, he was awesome. He really played good on the perimeter and in the interior defense. He had 7 rebounds and 2 steals, and he was just very good on defense. And that Dennis Rodman comparison, I really like that because he's not going to be getting much points, but he's going to be filling up the stat sheet with rebounds, blocks, steals, assists, everything. So I like that, and his debut was mid, in my opinion.
All right. Well, I thought his debut was pretty solid for a 19-year-old NBA rookie. I think, you know, the 7 boards were big. The 2 assists were big. Really has a great vision. A couple steals. I think he'll get more block shots as we go on. But I really liked he really filled the stat line. Shooting, I'm not necessarily concerned about with him. I think that's going to come in time. And the Dennis Rodman comparisons, I've thought long and hard about that. I think one of the things that we can compare to Rodman that I think is pretty favorable are the rebounds and his passing. Rodman was really elite at both of those things. And then we talk about the scoring. I think, honestly, in time, given a long enough trajectory, I think Jeremy Sochan is going to be a better scorer than Rodman was. I think he can spot up and hit a 3 here or there. I think his shot's just going to get better and better as he gets used to the NBA season and the schedule. So I can compare the rebounding and passing game. Plus, he just has, I think Sochan, I think will be a better scorer, but he also just has a general overall more likable attitude. Rodman was kind of the, you know, I don't give a damn, I don't really care kind of guy. Sochan's a little more funny, a little more jovial, just from a personality standpoint, but I think he's going to be better glue for the team than Dennis Rodman ever was. As far as just personality and team chemistry. All right, let's move on to the next segment of the show, This Day in Spurs History. Drew, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I'm going to be taking us way back to 1979 on October 20th, where the Spurs hosted the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it was a high-scoring affair. The Spurs ended up winning that game 129-127. The Spurs had 4 players in double figures, including Larry Kinnon, who had 29 points, 19 boards and assists. He had a very good performance. James Silas, who had 29 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. Mark Olberding, who had 22 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block. And George Gervin, who had 20 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. A really, really good win on that day, October 20th, 1979. Spurs got a dub against the Cavs.
Nice. The Iceman. Iceman doing work. That's awesome. All right. Well, now it's time for the segment of our show where we preview the upcoming game. And the upcoming game, I think, is a really interesting one for the Spurs because, by all accounts, you have another team that is in the bottom seven race, the tank for Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson kind of deal, the Indiana Pacers. Drew, what can you tell us about the Pacers?
Yeah, the Indiana Pacers, I think they have a young team as well. Their best player, I would give that to Tyrese Haliburton. He had 26 points on the first night. He had a very good year last year. Their rookie, Benedict Mathurin, he put up 19 points in the first game. Buddy Hield, who is a very good shooter, is probably top 5 in the league. TJ McConnell, and a lot of other good young role players on that Indiana Pacers team. I think this game is going to be a pretty close matchup, and it should see who is going to win the take battle.
All right. So the one of the players that they're going to be missing, Miles Turner, who's a really, really strong talent for them, good presence in the post. He has an ankle injury, so he's going to be out. Let's talk about which player do you think is going to go off, Drew, and what's your prediction for the outcome?
Yeah, my player to go off, I'm going to go with Josh Richardson for my player to go off. He had put up a donut in the stat sheet in game one, and I think he'll bounce back pretty well. So Josh Richardson is my player to go off.
Okay. And prediction?
Yeah, for this game, I think I have the Pacers winning this game by about 6 points. I think the Pacers are going to pull this game out with a good fourth quarter to finish it.
Okay. My player to go off is Mr. Josh Primo. I think he's going to work on his shot, work on his game after that night. I really expect him to have a strong outing. And my prediction is I've got the Pacers winning that one by 5. So should be a good, close, competitive game. But I think the Pacers ultimately with the home court are going to get the win by 5. So we'll be back with you guys on Friday night for the Spur of the Moment podcast. Thanks for joining us. It's a start to the season. I know this season's a little different. It's kind of weird because you don't get too bummed after the losses because one more loss always brings us closer to the prize and the light at the end of the tunnel. So anyway, then it'll be fun to watch these guys rebuild, watch this team develop and build. Nice tip of the cap for Manu Ginobili, who made the Hall of Fame, who's probably the greatest sixth man that I've ever seen in my lifetime. So it's nice to have that. I did like Popovich had a couple funny quotes about Ginobili. You know, they were asking him about what he thought about that whole Manu Ginobili. He was like, "Yeah, he's not helping us now, so I don't care." You know, kind of just jokingly like Pop does. So anyway, that brings us to the end of the episode. Drew, would you take us home, sir?
Yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening to the opener. And as always, go Spurs, go!